With the fall of Kabul, it's time to ask the question yet again. Was 9/11 an inside job?
Caution. Your paradigm is about to shift at the intersection of fact and reason. You're entering Kingston Country.
I'm Dan Kingston, and you're listening to the Dan Kingston Podcast. There's an official narrative to all current and past events. Those in power write the narrative behind closed doors. It is only then gradually disseminated in bits and pieces through the free press, and I only say free press in quotes. It is then reassembled and repackaged as original analysis. And because of this, you should always question the narrative. The main sources for most information that you read and hear about in the news, of course, comes from government agencies. And these government agencies release the reports to news agencies like Reuters or the Associated Press, which are the two main news agencies. These agencies often operate in the dark and in the background, and they control the official narrative. What is the official narrative on 9/11? Well, of course, Osama bin Laden. But when you peel back the onion layers to 9/11, of course, we have the 9/11 report, and it's connected to Saudi Arabia. But who is Saudi Arabia really close allies with? Well, China. Saudi Arabia and China have been growing in close alliance over the last few decades, over the last few years, really close. Who else does Saudi Arabia not like? Well, they don't get along very well with the other players in the Middle East. Of course, they have a close relationship officially with the United States, and yet we know that Saudi Arabia exports terrorism, and they do it in a very crafty way. Don't forget that you had Saudi Arabian nationals that opened gunfire on a U.S. Army base. Was that just a couple years ago? And the reports are that they're rogue, you know, rogue elements of the Saudi Arabian government, that the main people in Saudi Arabia don't wish us ill will, that they're not connected to the terrorists, that they're not connected to Pakistan and Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda and the Taliban and this and that. Why does it matter anymore? The Middle East is becoming irrelevant with oil not as much of a necessity, that we're not addicted to oil like we used to be. And so you could ask, why does it even matter? Why do we still ask these questions? Well, because when you look back on 9/11, some things appear to be more explainable now through the lens of history, what we know now with the fall of Kabul and Afghanistan. And exactly what benefited, who benefited from 9/11, right? Who benefited? Well, you could say Saudi Arabia benefited a lot. We took out a lot of the regional powers and really propped up Saudi Arabia. And who else benefited from 9/11? Well, China, it did. We got bogged down in the Middle East. What happened while we were bogged down in the Middle East? China grew in power. And now a lot of war games suggest that they could easily take Taiwan. Taiwan, of course, we're going to defend because that's where all the semiconductors are made. And the semiconductors are to the modern economy what oil was to the Industrial Revolution. We need the chips that power the cars, that power the cell phones, that power the computers. You know, I'm a car salesman. That's what I do. That's where I make my money. And I don't make my money on the podcast. I do not. I'm giving you this information because it's a passion. And I think that we need more citizen journalists exposing the lies of the mainstream media, the lies of the official narrative. Anyway, if you've gone to buy a car, a new car or a used car, you know that the market is absolutely insane in terms of the inflated prices. Why? Because new cars are super expensive. You can't get the semiconductors. The chips in the cars are made in Taiwan. And they miscalculated because of COVID. They didn't produce enough semiconductors, enough chips for the cars, and that's what happened. Now, you could say that this really shed light on the importance of the semiconductor industry, the chip industry, is the linchpin to the modern day economy. And because 65% of the semiconductors are produced in Taiwan at the final stage, it's really an international thing. You know, you got these pieces are produced over here, and you got another piece overproduced over here, and you got these big machines over there. These are very technologically complicated processes to create the chips that we need in our cars and the cell phones. Anyway, Taiwan turns out to be the linchpin to the global economy. And if China invaded Taiwan successfully, China would be able to hold the global economy hostage. How does this go back to 9/11 being an inside job? Because we looked away from Taiwan. We looked away from the Indo-Pacific region. And now China has an aircraft carrier. They got an air force. They're building military bases over there. And they are flexing their muscles. And they're not afraid to recognize the Taliban. Of course, their embassy is still open in Afghanistan. It's being guarded by Taliban. They are allies. China is allies with the Taliban, allies with Saudi Arabia and Iran. So, was 9/11 an inside job? Were we infiltrated at the highest levels by spies and by Chinese Communist Party spies, or perhaps by Saudi Arabia? Now, Saudi Arabia is our ally. I mean, on paper, they were. Of course, that relationship has soured quite a bit. But leading up to 9/11, they presumably had a lot of information. All the, not all of them, but a lot of the hijackers obviously were Saudi Arabian. So was some kind of information available? Were we infiltrated at the highest levels? That's what I believe. That's what Dan Kingston believes. And not only the government has been infiltrated at the highest levels, our media, our entire media apparatus has been infiltrated at the highest levels. That's why CNN is reporting that the Taliban is friendly. They appear friendly, according to CNN, while at the same time, they're recording the Taliban chanting death to America. And then they report them as being friendly. You tell me. Are the Chinese spies infiltrated CNN? How else would you have an American network calling the Taliban friendly as they chant death to America? If CNN hasn't been infiltrated by the Chinese Communist Party, then they're just traitors for being anti-American haters by calling the Taliban friendly. It's mind-boggling the way this has been covered, and the way that all events are covered by the mainstream media. Why don't we hear more about China's involvement potentially in 9/11 when they were close allies of Saudi Arabia and Pakistan? We know Osama bin Laden was found in Pakistan, not Afghanistan. So was Afghanistan the fall guy? Were they put up as the fall guy, perhaps? The Taliban supported from Pakistan. It looks like Pakistan is the real state sponsor of terrorism along with Saudi Arabia. So why did we spend $1 trillion on Afghanistan and Iraq? Well, all of this information lends to the belief that yes, in some way, 9/11 was an inside job, if you can call it that, in that our agencies were infiltrated, and perhaps the building was rigged to explode. Do I think that W. Bush planned 9/11? No. But one thing that unites the far left and the far right is the notion that 9/11 was an inside job. It's something that people tend to agree on, that there's more to meets the eye on this. Now, the far left likes to say that, you know, that it was a clearly W. Bush, you know, blew up the towers and this kind of thing. Now, I'm no friend of the neocons, but do I believe that the president purposely would take down a building? No, that's not the point of this podcast. The point of this episode is to point out Knowing what we know now, looking back through the lens of history, could there be more to 9/11? Perhaps China involvement? We know Saudi Arabia involvement. We know Osama bin Laden was found in Pakistan. So why Afghanistan? Why Iraq? Biden is caught in nowhere's land on Afghanistan. He's all rhetoric. It's zero reality. A bad direction is better than no direction at all. Even Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama could have given us a bad direction. But we don't have a direction because we don't have a real president who can think on the fly, who is able to use reason and logic. He can barely read. You got to ask yourself, do you feel confident with Joe Biden in charge? And more people on the right and the left even are saying the Biden presidency is all but finished. You see, he's humiliated us. This is always going to be a defining moment of Biden's disastrous presidency. The images coming out of Kabul, people falling out of airplanes, and gunfire and smoke grenades. It makes Saigon look like a minor thing. And right now, so many Americans who fought in Vietnam, you got to be getting flashbacks looking at what happened in Kabul. They're not going to forgive Biden. He's living in an alternate reality. Are you going to forgive Biden? Could you ever forgive Biden for humiliating us the way that he's done, with zero planning and then not taking responsibility, Now, I don't know if the right policy is to just completely let Afghanistan fall to the Taliban. I think you could have left a couple thousand troops in there and probably held the country. So why not? Why not listen to the generals who said, you don't need 80,000 troops, but maybe you should leave a few thousand in there with the drones and at least leave them nearby. And we let the whole thing collapse. Now the military is blaming Biden and Biden's, you know, saying we did everything we could do. And the Democrats blame Trump and, you know, the Republicans blame the Democrats. But really, everybody has to look at Biden and say, come on, you were the guy in charge. It is just pathetic that you're going to blame Trump for the fall of Kabul. And yet that's essentially what the Democrats are doing. They're blaming Trump. And it all makes sense to them. It's all logical to the far left Democrats to blame Trump for everything. Doesn't matter if it's a year later, 5 years later, or 10 years later. It can all be traced back to Trump. Just like all the evils in the world can be traced back to the forming of the United States through the lens of critical race theory. You see, they're so certain. And when you have ideological certainty, you do not have any room for logic or clarity because you're all ideological. That's why the Dan Kingston podcast is at the intersection of fact and reason. We're not a partisan podcast here. And you people in Kingston country, you're a part of that thinking outside of the box, questioning the official narrative and questioning the counter narrative, because there's always a counter narrative too. If it seems too obvious, if it seems too simple, then it's probably, it really probably is. We know that life is complicated with shades of gray. And it does take some time. You can't export thought. You don't want to export thought to other people. You want to think for yourself. And that's my job, is to give you the information, and you probably have a ton of it already. But if you've given some ideas that maybe I can present, because I'm not held down by corporations or commercials, I'm just off the cuff what I believe. Was 9/11 an inside job? Will Biden make it into 2020? Will he be forced to resign in humiliation? Do you believe ideological certainty impedes logical clarity?
Kingston Country. You've been listening to the Dan Kingston Podcast.